Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Highway 61 Beer Show. Now, none of the beers have anything at all whatsoever to do with Highway 61. But some of the things we're going to talk about does. Highway 61 is a highway that runs where from? I know it runs through Memphis, but up from Mississippi, and it's the highway to a lot of the blues.
I think it goes all the way to Chicago.
It does. Okay. There's a lot of blues traffic on this, by foot, by car, whatever. And so...
Train.
Okay. So on Highway 61, they got a train?
Well, right next to it.
Okay.
It goes right by it, all the way up.
That's a very progressive highway.
Follows the highway. It's that light speed rail they got.
There it is. And the Mississippi light speed rail.
The only one.
Okay. Pulled by lightning, the mule. Okay, so the Highway 61, but the reason we used to call it that is because we had this real diverse selection of beers, and there was a diverse selection of blues artists that came up Highway 61, and everybody traveled through Memphis one way or the other. Okay, how you like how I tied that kind of all together?
You bet.
Okay, so just like the diversity of music and musicians and styles, we've got a diversity of beer.
Boy, do we.
And Rick's got his...
Yeah, I've got a couple from Michigan that Groucho from the Beer Report brought to me as a gift. So I'll be sampling those.
Okay, cool. And he was passing through, and what was the occasion?
He was. He's got a brother lives in the Denver area, and he was driving, so I guess he had room in the back of his trunk for a few extra beers. So okay. The first one I'm starting with is the Dragon Mead Final Absolution, which is a Belgian-style triple ale. It says, it's better to curse the darkness than to light thy hand on fire. Amen, brother.
I believe that.
That's good advice. So curse the darkness.
All right, and Mike brought one. What are we drinking here?
It's a rogue beer. It's called John John Ale. It's a pale ale brewed with juniper berries and aged in spruce gin barrels. Rogue Brewmaster and Master Distiller have joined forces to create John John Ale. They have taken juniper pale ale and aged it in rogue spruce gin barrels. I didn't even know they had a distillery until I went and looked at the internet, their website.
Yeah, there seems like a lot of the microbrews are got a little distillery on the side.
They got to diversify.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
There's that whole diversification.
You got to testify, that's diversify, right. Man. You got to make money any way you can, I guess.
So, and Rick, you've never heard of this or had this?
I have not had that, no. But I don't go looking at rogue beers very often. Maybe I should reinvestigate it.
Well, yeah, because we did rogue years ago and hadn't really been back to visit them because it seemed like they had the same products forever. But apparently they're bringing some out that we were unaware of, like this one here. So the juniper berries and the gin and stuff, I mean, I'm getting a little hint.
Yeah, I am too. And a little hint of that gin, the dryness of the gin.
Yeah, and that it's a little bit in the aftertaste. Did you find an alcohol by volume?
No,
I'm looking on this to see. It tells me my Plato.
I'll tell you what I like about it is it reminds me of just your good old lager style beer. It's got the crisp flavor, the foamy head, the golden beer. It's real pretty to look at, and it tastes really good. I like it. And I'm not much of a lager guy, but it really resembles a lager, I think.
So we're looking to find out what the style is. This is style barrel aged. So you know what? I'm looking at the wrong one. There's more than one. This is a John John Dead guy. So who the hell is John John?
That's a good question.
John Mayer, right? Isn't he the head brewer?
It is actually John Mayer, you're correct, and Rogue Spirits Maker Distiller,
John
Cushot. So they are collaborating, apparently, on things that combine the two.
Cool.
Nice.
Much like what we were doing. Right before we started the show, we had our little... peach shooters made with some vodka-infused peaches that I did this little alcohol experiment yesterday, and I had a glass full of vodka-soaked peaches left over, so the vodka was all infused, and we had a little peach shot, and then I was remarking how the April hop from Dogfish Head is out, and I love that. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. what if we just drop some peach in a pale ale? And so we made little shooters with Sierra Nevada and vodka soaked peaches,
and they were pretty good.
It was pretty good, and so now we're drinking a gin soaked beer.
Right? Honestly, when you showed me that shot glass, I thought you guys were doing oyster shooters.
Yeah, it was. Had the same appearance. It was a little prettier. Oyster shooters look like somebody yarked in a shot glass.
It loses a little translation over the internet, doesn't it?
It's a little snot in there or whatever.
Looks like you killed an octopus and stuffed him in a shot glass.
Apparently, there's a number of John Johns. I'm looking on their list. We got to go back and revisit these guys. There's quite a few more.
Well, the problem is we can't get them here.
Well, this is true.
We'll have to get Brother Rick to do a care package.
You guys get rope.
Yeah, we get some.
At least we get that guy, right?
Yeah, we just don't get all the odd flavors, though.
Yeah. Now, this has no ABV listed. I'm looking on the Rogue website. It does say that it is a 34 IBU, so it's virtually no hops. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the kind of bite that we're getting.
Are you getting any of that juniper berry?
That's what I was going to say. That's what I think I'm tasting. I don't mm-hmm. think it's hops uh-huh. so much. Although, if you read the bill, it has quite a few hops in there. This has a hint of cucumber.
Hmm. Huh.
I don't got no cucumber.
I don't taste any cucumber.
But I do like the dry finish.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Very dry.
Mm-hmm. I like a beer that finishes pretty quick.
I think that's the flavor more so than anything else. So, yum. Hey, you know what's coming up, right?
There's a lot of things coming up. I hope you mean the Great American Beer Festival.
That would be it.
Amen, sister.
Yay!
Yeah. You and Mike are the official delegates. And
we'll be there or be square.
That's right. And
that sounds fun.
Got my tickets in the mail last week.
Right, got your VIP pass for the topless bar down the street.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
With the two girls, one with a limp.
That's right. She got a limp like an old school pimp. That's right.
We'll be bringing the spouses to that one, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is Beth going? Is your better half going? Yeah. Get out. Really?
No kidding.
I didn't think she liked you that much. Yeah. That's good news.
She'll be there. All right. Lost my left ear there.
That was me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just stuck my foot in your left ear accidentally. Technical thing. We got to hold our arms up, you know, just the right position to get the...
Get stereo.
That's right. So we talked about some of the Highway 61 things. And Mike drives this road, so he's way more familiar with it than me. And I wanted to say this is also on the Mississippi has like a Blues Highway map that mm-hmm. it's the main artery
right
of the Blues Highway. Okay, so here's the thing that I wanted to talk about, a couple things. I think it's been years back, we did, and we talked about Robert Johnson, one of the great blues legends from way back. And the legend goes that he went down to the crossroads, sold his soul to the devil. Well, as we know, it wasn't Robert Johnson. It was actually Tommy Johnson. But Son House got him confused and said, Robert Johnson, it stuck. And so everybody thought Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil because he could all of a sudden miraculously play and et cetera, et cetera. So that was at the crossroads, Highway 61 and 49. So I came across something, and it got me to wondering because I came across another blues person who had an encounter on Highway 61. And this is Bessie Smith. And Bessie Smith was somebody we played last show.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember we played that because we were talking about
like a little sugar in my sugar bowl.
Exactly right. And so we were talking about these suggestive songs. And so Bessie Smith, I was reading up on her. So she recorded over 160 songs.
Wow.
That's a huge catalog.
How much do you think she made for all that?
Actually, I know exactly how much she made. And this is part of the story, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but Bessie Smith was signed to record and managed by one John Hammond, like the organ.
Yeah.
Remember that name. John cut a deal with her. $30 per recording.
Wow.
No royalties. He retained all the royalties. He got a ton of money to this day.
Well,
his
I bet back then she thought $30 was a
$30 was a hell of a lot.
It was $1 million.
When she was a child, she was like 10 years old. She was singing. I had a great voice, right? Uh-huh. Was signed to sing at a club for $8 a week. And that was crazy money, too.
Yeah.
$8 a week, 10 years old. You know? So Bessie had, and we're going to play a Bessie Smith song here in a minute. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that we got to think about in this segment. The legend was Bessie Smith was returning from Clarksdale going to Memphis on Highway 61, September 20-something, 1938. Robert Johnson had gone to the crossroads and received his thing a year or 2 years earlier. He would die a year later.
Huh.
Bessie and her boyfriend were driving down Highway 61 and slammed into a parked truck or a stalled truck that had its lights off that was in the middle of Highway 61, smashed into it.
Uh-huh.
Bessie's right arm almost completely severed, ribs crushed, bleeding like a bastard.
A bitch.
Bleeding. I mean, she was bleeding. You know, it was a terrible thing, right? Now, here's where things diverge. She died, but there were three versions of how she died, and one of them was perpetrated by John Hammond. John Hammond said,
what was he trying to do, keep the story going or the...
Well, you decide.
Uh-huh.
John Hammond said, Bessie was picked up by passerbys, taken to a white-only hospital, and was refused admission and died in her, you know, bled to death.
Was that John's story?
That was John Hammond's story. He allegedly was told that by someone and told people that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as time has passed, people have decided, well, that was because that son of a bitch wanted to capitalize on the after-death sales, mm-hmm. right? And by making it a racial issue, that prompted even more controversy, which would result in more publicity. Okay. So, in 1960-something, I'm trying to recall, early 60s, Edward Albee, you remember him from high school? We all had to read something by Edward Albee. He was a playwright. And it was obviously made zero impression on any of us. But we did, I promise you. If you go look at
that,
I never had to read that in California, to be honest with you.
So. They're all smoking weed.
But
Edward Albee, in the 60s, and remember, this is before the Civil Rights Act was passed, he had read this story and he wrote a play called The Death of Bessie Smith.
Help me down.
And it was a huge success and reignited all of this controversy about racial injustice, et cetera, uh-huh. et cetera, and has been credited as one of the things that was helped with the Civil Rights Movement. Okay? And then the last piece of this was in 1970, a young blues singer, Janis Joplin, who loved her some Bessie Smith, found out that not only had she had all her money stolen, her name taken, her estate didn't get shit from the play, she was buried in an unmarked grave.
Oh, wow.
Just like Robert Johnson. And so Janis Joplin bought her headstone by taking up a collection. John Hammond gave $50.
That's
okay.
Almost two songs.
I know. Okay. So that's the Bessie Smith story, part one.
Man, poor Bessie.
And we got two more parts. It gets crazier and crazier. But I want to start looking into this because I found this collection. You know how, like, if you start looking long enough, kind of like what's that movie where everybody's dying? They made five of them so far.
Destination.
Final Destination.
Oh, yeah.
You look underneath and you see the pattern, uh-huh. right, of how the people die in order by how they were sitting on the plane.
Uh-huh.
I'm uncovering stuff. I'm going to share this. It's creeping me out, man, just thinking about all this stuff. So, okay. So, our John Ale, are we liking it?
I do. I love it.
Yeah.
Good? Good stuff. Well, I'd buy it again.
I'd buy it.
This seems like it'd be good outside. Cold. I don't know about it. And as mine's warming up, maybe it's just me, I'm getting a lot more gin.
Yeah.
You know? I think I would like this actually colder, mm-hmm. you know, instead of like an ale warming up. I think this will start turning to warm gin.
Kind of like warm Budweiser.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that bad.
Well, here's the dirty little secret about gin. It really doesn't have any flavor until you start adding the juniper to it. So.
Well, now, isn't that – okay, is that just for flavoring? Because they're not distilling juniper berries, right?
No. I mean, it all starts from pure spirits, right? And then they just kind of add whatever flavoring or coloring to make the liquor.
What are they using?
What
corn?
Type it is.
Do they use corn for gin or what?
Oh, I don't know what the fermentable is. That's a good question.
All right. Well, we'll have to look that up and find out what's in the gin deal. All right.
So let me talk a little bit about Final Absolution. It's Dragon Meat's signature product. This is the ultimate Belgian style. The very high gravity of this beer is balanced by the smoothness of the finish. Banana and clove aromas from the Belgian yeast strain combining with the generous dose of Belgian candy sugar. The Saaz hops help to give this beer a balanced finish. Or balanced bitterness with no noticeable hop aroma, and it's 8.5%. And I didn't see that on the label, so Michigan must have different label requirements than most states.
Okay, now this is, and you don't have it on the label. We don't have ours on the label either, and can't find it on the rug site. So, what's up with people not wanting us to know the ABV?
I don't know. But obviously, they're not selling in Texas because Texas has very stringent label requirements. I think it has to say beer on it, and it has to have the alcohol by volume. But cool. Different areas have different rules.
Well, okay then. That's profound. Different areas have different rules.
Isn't that deep?
High alcohol sometimes because they didn't want people to buy it just for that reason.
Okay.
Just to get drunk off.
All right. Well, that makes sense. John, did you hear what John said?
I did.
So
I also want to mention, just in case anybody is actually listening, we may have been mentioned in the Daily Camera, which is the Boulder newspaper, and they could mention Big Foamy Head by name. So we may have picked up a listener or two from there. So
well,
if you've
actually
joined, then welcome aboard.
Actually, there's a lot more than you think, and I'm going to tell you about that in the next segment.
You mean we got more than two?
It is. I got stats, man.
Right. Is there a tie-in to the Bessie woman?
No, but you give me a minute, and I'll come up with something. All
it's
right.
Kind of like the what's the Kevin Bacon thing?
The six degrees of Kevin
degrees
Bacon.
Yeah,
that's just right.
Just sent a chill down my spine.
What, Kevin Bacon?
No. Okay. The Bessie link.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to some Bessie. This is a song that I think everybody's heard, and they made into a movie. What was the movie, Down and Out in Beverly Hills with Nick Nolte?
There was a movie,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is a song that they played in it. Eric Clapton released it, got a lot of play. Nobody knows you when you're down and out.
Okay.
What was that famous play that they wrote about the woman?
The Death of Bessie Smith.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Look at
that's what you had to read in.
No, not that. It was some Edward Albee thing. Zoo or something like that. I forgot what it is. We'll look it up. We'll look all this stuff up.
Scorpions did a song called The Zoo.
Really? You think it was by Bessie Smith? You will be the man. Six steps between Bessie Smith and the Scorpions.
Scorpions.
Okay. It can be done. Let's listen to some Bessie.
Spending my money, I didn't care. I carried my friends out for a good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. When I began to fall so low, I didn't have a friend and no place to go. So if I ever get my hand on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it till them eagles grin. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. In my pocket, not one penny. skinny. And I felt so low. Nobody wants me round their door. Without a doubt, no man can use you when you down and out. I mean, when you down and out.
Okay, so that was Bessie. And Shirley, you've heard that before.
Who's Shirley?
Shirley. That's Bessie's sister, Shirley Smith. Okay, so
she got paid $3 for
she
that.
Did.
She wouldn't do it, but her
that
sister
was
would.
That was a $30 song you just heard. Now, Mike said the connection between Bessie Smith and the Scorpions. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Here it is. Bessie Smith, who was managed, produced, et cetera, by John Hammond. John Hammond worked for Columbia Records. Warrant, Columbia Records recording artist, is on tour with Scorpions. Yeah, I looked that up, man.
Everything's six steps away. Isn't it?
That's right. And they'll be appearing at the M3 Rock Festival somewhere near you.
At some wine and beer garden near you.
Yeah, yeah, it's some state fair near you.
Here I am, rock me like a hurricane.
Man, that was eerie. It was just like being at a Scorpions concert.
The Scorpions was just here in Memphis.
They were.
Yeah.
A Mud Island, right?
Yeah, I didn't get to go. I would have liked to have gone.
I think with some of these people here.
Back in the day, yeah. I rocked to some Scorpions now. That's pretty good music.
Well, Rush was just here.
You bastard.
I'm looking at this, and it says Merriweather Post Pavilion, wherever the hell that is.
He gets all the shows.
Yeah.
Did you know he went to see Rush?
Yeah, he sent me a text while he was at Rush.
At Red Rocks, of all places.
But when you're at a Rush show, you can't yell out, play some... Oh, never mind.
Well, you could.
It would be redundant. Yeah, that's all right. That's the new catchphrase. Play some Bessie.
Yeah.
Hey, man, play some Bessie.
Yeah. All right. So let me tell you Bessie, part two.
Okay.
Now, the wreck happened. This is a fact. Bessie rear-ended a car.
Who was driving?
A truck. Her boyfriend. So there they are.
Was he black?
I honestly don't know. I assume black. You know, that would have got you killed back in those days. 1937. So here's what actually happened. This is years later, but it was – and the boyfriend survived. And they talked, and they actually documented this, but it was totally ignored. Okay, now remember that Bessie died, and John Hammond started perpetrating all this, she bled to death, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, what actually happened was Bessie Smith, laying on the side of the road, headed towards Memphis, a car comes up almost immediately after the wreck on the left side, driven by a Dr. Smith. So now we have two Smiths. And he's a doctor. What are the odds? A white doctor. Dr. Smith sees the wreck, parks, gets out, goes over and starts tending to Bessie and the boyfriend. Almost immediately thereafter, another car coming from Memphis slams into the back of Dr. Smith's car.
Oh, wow.
Same accident within minutes on the opposite side of the road. This was a white couple. Now, by that time, somehow word had gotten out. I don't know if it's farmers or what, but they had ambulances were coming. And so Dr. Smith was tending to Bessie, who was obviously the worst off person. And so he's like jumping around, tending to him, but primarily focused on Bessie. And this is what all the documentation says. Well, the ambulances showed up. Everybody was packed up. They were all taken off. Bessie died en route. She never made it to the hospital. She was never refused admittance, et cetera. Now, they go on to point out that had Bessie been taken to a hospital based on race, the Clarksdale Colored Hospital was, I think it said, like a mile or two away.
Mm-hmm.
At that time of night, there was no traffic. They could have been there in minutes, and it's very possible that Bessie could have been saved. But bear in mind, none of the cars were working.
Yeah.
They were all wrecked, right?
Wow.
So that was something. Okay, now, that's the Bessie Smith part two. And you ain't going to believe the John Hammond story that goes next. Now, did we say this on air about his deal with her was $30?
Yes.
Per recording. And, okay. So remember our interview with Bobby Rush and how he went on about how the black people were horribly screwed and mistreated. And we know about Bo Diddley. Okay. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, that rat bastard. John Hammond, son of a bitch, you know, screwing her out of her money, and then like a vulture, right, preying on her death to capitalize and make a few more dollars, right? Okay. But even the worst people have their good sides, and that's what I got to tell you about in a minute. So speaking of good sides, we got our beer side going here. With collaboration, not litigation ale. And Rick, we've had this before. This says batch number 4. Does that mean the fourth time that they've done this?
Okay. It does.
And you know the story behind this, right?
I do. Yeah,
tell us. Enlighten us.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Russian River and Avery Brewing Company had the same beer named Salvation, I believe. And they got to know each other and slapping each other on the backs and good old boys. No, wasn't quite like that. But they decided not to sue each other, so
they'd work together.
They started this collaboration, and then they actually decided to collaborate on a beer. And this was one of the earlier ones, because this batch 4, so that was about 4 years ago. Now you're getting a lot of collaborations. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys have been following that in the industry, but you'll get 3 or 4 brewers getting together and putting something together. So this is the Russian River Avery collaboration that is brewed here in Colorado. And I believe that Vinny actually comes out and does the recipe for it.
Okay. So he comes out and works with Adam Avery?
Yeah, and I gave away my bottle, so you guys have to tell me what it tastes like.
Well, it tastes pretty good. It's 8.9% alcohol, and it's got a really good, like a fruity kind of base to it. It's got that good ale.
That rum raisin
type. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember it being strong on raisin flavor.
Love that. It's kind of like Belgian-y, but not the the twang or the effervescence, but a little bit of Belgian. Yeah. It's definitely got that. And you know, whenever I have Russian River beers, they all kind of have that little deal. You know, that's like Tommy Arthur and all of his. It's got kind of this this style that's his. And, you know, the Lost Abbeys are like that. And that's what this one kind of reminds me of, all the Russian River. Well, with, you know, the collaboration and damnation and fornication and all of those. I don't know if they have a fornication, but they should.
They should.
you're mixing up two different breweries. Tommy Arthur's down in San Diego.
And, No.
And Russian River's up in.
No, I know. Northern. No, I'm talking about in terms of that certain brewers and breweries, when they do their styles. Right. Like Jolly Pumpkin, those guys, all of theirs are kind of like in the same kind of vein. And, you know, it's hard to do different styles. I mean, it shouldn't be hard, but it seems like a lot of people, they have things that are just kind of like in that little segment. Remember, we were having the Abita beers, because almost all the Abitas have that kind of, I don't know if it's a water or something, but they all kind of have that finish or something. And then they did something. It wasn't Andy Gator. It was it their Abbey Ale or something? We go like, is this Abita? That it was just so different from them. But so that's what I'm saying when I'm saying that the this tastes like a lot of the Russian Rivers.
Okay. A lot of times they use a house yeast, you know. So that's why you get a house flavor out of all the different beers. Or they have a house base grain that they use in everything. So you don't get too much diversity there. So, yeah, you have a good point.
Yeah, the house flavor. That's the words right there. See, that's why he's the judge. Yep. He can think up stuff like that. So I wanted to tell you and just correct you, because we goof around and talk about how nobody's listening. We're just doing this to amuse ourselves, which we're probably right a lot of the times.
We're right all the time.
But here's what I wanted to tell you, Rick.
Yes.
We've had over 2,000, coming up on 3,000 downloads of our iPod app.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
That's a buttload of new listeners, because I know it ain't me downloading it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And also, And I don't know if you notice this, but our Twitter feed is picking up a lot of people every single day. And here's why. I made a little change. And I don't know, I haven't told y'all about it. I just want to see if it worked. If you got a big, if you got a twitter.com/bigfoamyhead, it's now your source of beer news coming straight to your Twitter feed.
Wow.
I've tied in the topics beer news into our feed. And so it posts multiple times a day. And it's apparently there's people who appreciate that and are signing up left and right to follow us. So we have quite a few new listeners, as it turns out.
Good
or,
deal.
Or readers, I guess. And this is good timing for us to share at the after the GABF, the Beer Bloggers Conference, right?
That's true. November 5th through 7th, I believe, are the dates here in Boulder, Colorado. And first ever, hopefully of many. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you're going, but before that, you and Mike are going to GABF, and what's the special thing that you get to do?
Okay, I need to plug this and probably have some comments afterward. This year, we're doing the World Brewers Forum, as usual. There's a homebrew competition and a silent auction and a drawing that goes along with it, and we have 16 kegs of Croc homebrew. So that's the Keg Ran Out Club, one of which is mine. So you can go and enjoy my American Bitter, which I brewed last week. And our speakers are going to be Chris White from White Labs Yeast and Patrick Rue from the brewery there in Southern California. So
and that's our buddy Phil's big friend, right?
Yeah.
The brew.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't promote this, but we do have food there. So that's a little secret for the Big Foamy Head listeners. And come and get you some sliced roast beef. And
a couple of years ago, it was very good.
It was real good. It's been good every time I've gone.
Very good.
Now, what is it? You just got to know where to go, or what's the deal on that?
No, it's always at the Marriott where they do the judging for the GABF. So okay. We actually use one of the rooms that the judges use. We just kind of clean it out for our purposes.
Okay.
Well, hey, the homebrew contest, is it too late to send a beer in?
I believe so. Yeah, it's probably due the 28th.
Okay.
Now you you said you had a keg, but is that also an entry?
No.
Okay. Didn't I hear you entered?
No,
some, right?
I stopped entering contests a long time ago.
Okay.
I may pick it up because I went over to one of my friends, Ryan Thomas, who's in the club, and this guy has like a stack of medals. and I was talking to another a guy from our club, and he's got over 400 medals, including nationals and things like that. It's like, okay, I probably can play this game, so.
Well, if you enter enough, you're bound to win something.
But you also need to brew a classic style beer, and that's my weakness. I like to mess things up, I always cross styles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good beer, but it's never a beer that's too style.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, speaking of styles, and I can't remember which of you mentioned this. Mike, you were talking about the black IPA.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another style that I've been seeing and reading about and hearing about. And I went and looked and said, oh, okay, well, I've had some of these. And I'm not sure, Rick, you can tell me if this is legit or not. Is there now or is there emerging a class called American Wild?
Haven't heard of it.
I haven't heard of that. I've heard of a Northern Black IPA.
The Cascadian Ale.
Okay, Cascadian. Okay. Well, this is one, and if you go and look it up, American Wild, it's a lot of beers are being characterized as that in Beer Advocate.
Hmm.
And another place I've been seeing this, so I wondered, is this one of those emerging styles?
Heard of that.
Right? And what it is, it's just beers that are using Brett. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you look at it, it's a lot of the barrel-aged and some others.
Or just pouring your wort into a cool ship in the attic and letting bat drops.
Mother Nature take over.
And foul it up and hope it tastes good at the end, right?
Did you say bat shit?
Spit in it, pee in it, and see what comes out, right? So.
Was it guana? Yeah.
Yeah. Guano beer.
That's what I said. That's what I meant.
This beer is the shit. Okay. Well, so I'm springing something on the judge here, man. You got to go look that up. I looked it up.
American Wild. Okay.
Yeah. And Russian River has a number of entries in that classified as American Wild. So I didn't know if that was something the Beer Advocate guys were coming up with, because I was reading some other blogger's deal, and I think she was called the Beer Fox, not the Beer Wench, the Beer Fox. And she was suggesting something with birthday and pairings. And you know where I found that?
Where?
On Twitter.com/BigFoamyHead.
Get out of here.
On our beer feed. Yeah,
wow.
Man. I don't just push it out there. I actually read
we're
this.
We're all over it. How come I'm not getting the shiznit?
Well, I just want to make sure it worked first.
Okay.
That's just, serendipity going on right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool.
You know, I don't believe I'll ever be a Twitter guy, though.
You will never have twatted?
Short little messages. I'm just not into it.
What, you don't like twats? I mean tweets?
Tweets, right, no. Tweets, no. Twats, well, let's not go there.
You say tomato, I say tuamato.
You meant clamato, right?
What did you say?
Clamato, is that a clam tomato juice?
Quit beating on the table. I was like beating the shit out of the table like it's a child or something.
Does he have an epilepsy?
Nah, he's just all up in it. He's just enjoying life right now. Life is taking care of Alan Young. In a good way.
Twitter/BigFoamyHead. I'm not getting anything.
Well, it's there, I promise you. Twitter.com/BigFoamyHead. All one word.
Oh, Twitter.com.
Yeah. It's this thing called the internet. We have to put .com or .something after
not,
it.
Not Twitter.
It ain't my rules. It's them internet rules. But anyway, well, you going to look up and see what the fast-breaking, up-to-the-minute beer news is?
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
Beer, it's your best friend, you drink a lot of it.
Beer News!
All right, see, that's what we could do. We just play our beer news sounder,
hey,
and then say, go read it.
We could have people tweet us live tweets, but they'll be late.
Yeah.
You know, you got a slow show going. The host is following someone on Twitter.
I know. He's over there tweeting and twatting. He doesn't have his – usually he's got his laptop out, you know, calculating
Googling
shit.
Stuff.
Yeah, Googling and screw it around. Okay. Well, why don't we let Mike get all twatted up? And I got another song here. And this is a song that I played a little earlier. So this is another one. And this ties into everything. And you're going to have to figure out how. Okay, so here's a little Bruce Springsteen.
Well, a doctor comes around here with his face all bright, and he says in a little while you'll be all right. All he gives is a humbug pill, a dose of dope, and a great big bill. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and pain? Me and my old school pals had some mighty high times down here. And what happened to you poor black folks? Well, it just ain't fair. He took a look around, gave a little pep talk, said I'm with you, then he took a little walk. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and now? There's bodies floating on canal and the levee's gone to hell. Martha, get me my 16 gauge and some dry shells. Them who's got out of town, and them who ain't got left to drown. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and we'll be right back. scattered from Texas all the way to Baltimore. This train rolling down this track. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times in life? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times in life? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times in life?
It's just recording, so all that derogatory, horrible shit we just said,
yeah,
don't mention it.
It's erased, right?
It was bad. God, we just defended what? Half the population. But we're passing around the remnants of the collaboration, not litigation, bottle. And Rick, what are you drinking on there?
Yeast in the bottle.
I am drinking a Short's Brew Huma Lupa-licious.
Sorry.
It's an India Pale Ale, and it's one of my favorite beers on the planet.
You know we go good in that? A peach.
Hops.
A peach. Ain't that a peach?
Drop some peaches in there, man. That's good.
You know
stuff.
What? You know what you put in the beer called Huma Lupa-licious? More hops.
That's
that
right.
Makes it even more better.
Which, speaking of hops, Mike's about ready to harvest, right?
I got up and pulled some off the vine yesterday and broke them open, and yeah, they're pretty hoppy.
Today's Farmer's Almanac. Brought to you by Mike.
Mm-hmm. Cue the Green Acres theme.
Dun 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 dun.
Okay, good stuff. So the song we were listening to.
Is Zsa Zsa Gabor still dead or alive?
No, she didn't die, right?
That's correct.
She hurt herself. She's like 90-something. Old as shit.
She's still alive.
It's still alive.
We missed that on a trivia question when we were playing trivia the other night.
Yeah, I knew it.
Everybody at the table said she was dead. I said she was alive.
It was just in the news. It was just in the news, though. She fell down and hurt herself. But the song we were just listening to was Bruce Springsteen covering Pete Seeger. Okay? And I told you that relates. So let me tell you the final installment of the Bessie Smith story. So, as mentioned, John Hammond was her manager, right? Now, John Hammond, an evil son of a bitch, who obviously took advantage of many blues singers, not just Bessie Smith, but this guy had a knack for being in the right place at the right time. He had an ear. And if you read his background, I pulled some of this up on the source from which all knowledge flows, Wikipedia.
Oh, man, it's got to be right.
Yeah, of course. It's just don't even doubt it anymore. But John Hammond was born 1910, okay? We got to do some math on this. And he went to school. He was like descended from the Vanderbilts or something. So he came from money. He went to school, I believe, at Yale. He went to Phillips Exeter Military Academy, then to Yale, which, of course, prepared him for a career in blues music.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets out of Yale and just apparently, you know, to
my
the
daddy,
dismay of his parents.
My daddy cut me off from my trust fund. Dun, dun, dun,
that's
dun,
right.
Dun.
I got them Ivy League blues. So he goes and he just, as it turned out, that when he was coming up, the servants in the house would play their music and he'd hear it and he liked it. And he went, and it's in New York, mind you, and went to clubs in Harlem to listen. So he had an appreciation for the music that was around. Now, the bear in mind, is like, you know, 20s and 30s. So after he graduated, he just wandered on and started hearing people and somehow started putting deals together. He was like, and when I was reading his bio, I started thinking immediately of Colonel Parker.
Okay.
Elvis's manager. He was one of those guys. He was a promoter, a wheeler dealer, right? Putting people together, networking, hustling, dealing.
Yeah.
So Bessie was one of his earlier victims. But he started signing up people, and it had a list of some of the people that he was putting together. Now, here's where the connection starts getting a little weird. Shortly after, Bessie died, and he capitalized on her. He goes to put on this big show in
New
York.
Just to clarify, severed arm, bleeding on the highway, right?
Right. Dead en route to that. Okay. But nobody knew that yet. Back then they thought, you know, the legend of Bessie, she'd been refused, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And so capitalizing on the success of that, he starts putting together this big show to expose the white people in New York to the black music. And he put this thing together where he was going to have gospel from spirituals to swing at Carnegie Hall. Hmm. He had signed the headline guy, who was Robert Johnson.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Who then promptly died. Not of a severed arm. That's another mystery. So he brought in Big Bill Brunzi, another guy. But anyway, if you look at all these people that he went and signed up.
He died before the show happened.
He did. I mean, right before. This would have been the thing. You know, Robert Johnson only recorded like 2 sessions, I think. And that was going to be his big breakout to the public. And he died under those mysterious circumstances. Okay, so other people that he signed was Count Basie.
Wow.
Was one of them. Because remember, this is like blues starting to merge into about that time, late 30s, swing music.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other types of music were coming in, big bands, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Then the war happened, and he went off to war. He comes back from the war. And swing music, bebop, et cetera, is full tilt. And he just can't stand that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to have nothing to do with it. So John Hammond just kind of, screw this. And just kind of laid out for a little while. And then the music scene changed again. The bebop swing started going towards coffee house and folk and some others. And that's when he resurfaced and started signing people like Pete Seeger. The folk singer who we just heard Bruce Springsteen cover. And John Hammond had an ear. He would hear these things. Later in the 50s, he heard another person who kind of reminded him of Bessie Smith and signed her, Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. He worked for Columbia Records, and remember, I'm tied to the Scorpions thing. He had nothing to do with the Scorpions.
Uh-huh. Okay. He didn't form that band?
No, he did not. Yeah. But later
I'm glad
on.
You're making this relevant because I actually know who these people are.
Okay. And so then later, it's like the folk scene kind of evolved to the early kind of folk rock sort of things, and he signed this guy with just a god-awful weird voice, but sound for some reason, people liked him, Bob Dylan.
Yeah!
Highway 61.
Yeah. So, Highway 61. So we still have that connection. Now, remember, he's born in 1910. Okay.
Is he still paying $30 a song?
I don't know about that.
Paying a little more than 30. Maybe 35.
But he's bringing all these people in. Okay, so now bear in mind, by the time he signed Bob Dylan, right, he was in his 40s. Okay. And then he, after a while, said, this is okay, but I'm starting to slow down. The music was changing again and again. And in the late 60s, he heard this other guy. He thought, well, this kid's got potential. And I think it was in the 60s or the 70s. I'm looking on here. Where is he? Yeah. At about the same time that he oversaw the posthumous release of Robert Johnson's recorded work and persuaded Columbia Records to reissue King of the Delta Blues, which is a great thing, in 1961. And then he later signed Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
Okay. And then he retired.
How about the E Street Band?
I don't know. I don't know who Bruce was with then, but you remember Bruce has been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay. So he retired, but he came back in 1983. He's 72, almost 73 years old, because he found this guy and he said, fellas, you got to sign this guy.
When?
73. A young guy named Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Wow.
Unreal.
So what I was saying earlier,
yeah.
He's a rat bastard, low life piece of shit
but
who
he knew,
signed
he knew music.
People, yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, he's a mixed bag, man. You know, you got to hate him for screwing
mixed
over people, but without him, I mean, there's like foundations, right, of of music styles and things. And so anyway, so that concludes the Bessie Smith
saga.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That was good. I like that.
There's all these connections and interconnections, and that's what got me to think of
a rich man.
I'm curious. Boy, he was born a rich man, so
yeah.
And you ever heard that? What's the fastest way to make $1 million? Start with $5 million.
Yeah, you gotta have money to make money.
Oh man! So I was just reading that, and it got me to thinking. You know, there's a lot going on, and we've got that Mississippi. I forgot where we picked up that map of the Mississippi. The Blues Highway. But there's a lot of stuff. So it got me to thinking how much other of these interconnections and, like, I'm sure there's a lot of dead people going on. I'm wondering, is there not some kind of, like, Bermuda Triangle? Right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the crossroads, you know, you never know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Creepy.
And I'd love to take that tour sometime and go down through there. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, because they've got attractions and things to stop and read about and you know, do your edumacation on all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing what all they got there. I got the map somewhere on there. We'll have to.
And the Blues Hall of Fame is in
the. And then we can do the.
Yeah, a bunch of different Halls of Fames, right?
And then one day we can do the tamale tour, and maybe we can incorporate that because it follows the same damn road. It goes all the way down through the Delta.
And people don't really know that tamales are part of Memphis history, too.
Sure.
They've been here forever. Mm-hmm. And not really made by Mexican people.
No.
Actually, the largest vendor of tamales in Memphis is Italian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Jones. Yeah,
Mama Rosa's tamales.
Mama Rosa, yeah.
From the Aviotti family.
And then you got Mrs. Jones tamales, too. She's the one that hauls them around in those little plastic buckets.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pretty cool stuff.
Now, before we start offending yet another race, Rick told us we got to correct some perceptions, but when I said the Clarksdale Colored Hospital, that was its name. I didn't name it, and we don't. Although we live in Memphis, and I'm sure everyone's watched Memphis Beat, we actually don't refer to people as colored anymore.
Yeah.
It's not something we did.
It was the times.
Remember, we were talking about the 30s, right?
Yeah.
Rick was reminded, like, in other parts of the country, where they're a little more uptight about race and things like that. And where apparently we just kind of take it for granted. You know, there's a lot of stuff that went on and actually still goes on in certain parts of the South. Mm-hmm. Hell, I know it wasn't until the 80s in Yazoo, Mississippi that people would feel comfortable walking to the front door. Mm. No kidding, man. I mean, that is like stepping back in time.
That's where you're from, isn't it? Yazoo?
Yep. I went there for a funeral, and it was weird, man. It was like, you know, civil rights did occur.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did not get that memo. it was weird, and it was like kind of getting a little uncomfortable there because there was a bunch of, I mean, it's just weird, you know. Yeah. I've been watching Mad Men on A&E. That's such a trip too, watching how things were like different.
Oh yeah,
back
the
there.
Way they treated women.
Yeah, and I don't know who the lady is who plays the maid, Don Draper's maid. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you kept up with it, but they're
divorced.
Oh, man, it's getting really just bizarre.
Well, if you kept up with it, he's divorced now, and he's living in the city in an apartment. So he doesn't have a maid anymore.
Well, no, she came. She was taking what's-her-face, the daughter, to the doctor, see, because they couldn't be bothered, or the psychiatrist. Oh, you got to watch. But anyway, the maid, though. So how the maid was acting, she kind of like in
she
the background.
Black,
of course.
Okay.
That was in the 60s, right? And it was just weird. You know, watch this, like, oh, yeah, that was.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a book you need to read.
Yeah?
Called The Help.
Okay.
It's about the maids in the Jackson, Mississippi area back in the 60s. I think it was 60s.
Yeah?
And Beth just got through reading it. She really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And they're making a movie about it.
Ah.
Okay. And they're filming it down in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Okay. Not in New Orleans.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. But it's all about that time and yeah. How they lived
yeah.
and what the world thought about them and how they were treated. And
well, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those interesting
right.
things.
Quick show of hands, who's going to read this?
Oh, I will. I will
yeah,
read
I know
it.
You guys read a lot of books. I don't read that many books, but, you know,
yeah.
it might be worthwhile.
Okay, that's our reading assignment yeah. for the Big Foamy Head Book Club.
Yeah, called The Help.
The Help.
We've got a book club now.
By somebody. Whose name escapes me.
If Oprah can do it, we can do it.
That's
it's
right.
A girl from Mississippi State.
Who wrote it?
I think she was.
Was somebody Beth went to school with?
No,
or?
I think she was from Oxford, but she ended up going to Mississippi State.
Okay. Well, they've had one or two people yeah. come out of Oxford that wrote a book.
Yeah.
Right?
A couple of them.
Faulkner guy?
Grisham?
Grisham.
I think he was even,
yeah.
he was from there, wasn't he?
And
I know he lived there for a long time.
Yeah. And from Yazoo, where I was talking about, was the guy who wrote My Dog Skip.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
He had a bunch of books.
Willie Morris. Willie Morris. Yeah, North Towards Home, My Dog Skip. He was editor of Harper's.
And then you had
magazine.
Jerry Clower.
Yeah, noted author.
one of my favorites.
Do you think people know who Jerry Clower is?
He wrote a lot of jokes.
You think people under the age of 40 know who Jerry Clower is?
Mm.
John, do you know who Jerry Clower is? Look, who the hell are they talking about?
Was he an astronaut?
That's right. Noted Mississippi astronaut. Built his own rocket.
traveled far.
Okay, look, Rick's reclining. He's calling an audible out here. Okay. He's calling a timeout. All right. The beer's gone. Rick, you have nothing.
I love my Schwartz brew, and I also love the one from Dragon Meath. So thank you, Eric. A.K.A. Groucho, for bringing those to me.
That's right.
I love those fine Michigan beers, and I swear someday I'm going to take a tour of Michigan, a beer tour.
Okay.
They've got some good stuff going up there.
They have got good beers. What about on this side of the fence?
Collaboration Ale, man.
You like that better than the John Juniper Fiesta beer?
I liked them both.
Yeah.
Different styles,
yeah.
but I really liked them both.
What'd y'all think?
Yeah, very good.
Which one would you lean towards?
I would buy the Juniper beer, John.
You like the Juniper one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
The John, it reminded me of the Stone IPA, kind of.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. I'm still trying, I'm curious, though, about, because that's interesting you say that, because it had nothing for hops.
Yeah.
But it was that bite, so that was kind of a different way to do it.
Juniper berry, I saw a recipe in either Brew Your Own or Zymergy.
For Juniper beer?
Juniper beer. It's been a while, but it was interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, I love the collaboration. Anything that Avery or Russian River does,
that way too,
and
man.
Those two together, man, that's just amazing.
It's like Sore Peter. You can't beat it.
God, you've been working on getting that in. Resurrecting that.
Well, thanks for the information about everything regarding Bessie Smith.
I know. You are now, if
that was
should
good.
You should you have to take a Bessie Smith test?
You done good, boy.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty fascinating.
That Hammond guy? What a jerk.
I know. but thank
boy,
God
what
for
an
him.
Organ.
Yeah. That's right. They make a fine organ. Are you calling him an organ?
Yeah. You be the judge.
He was. That's right. You decide. Okay. Well, gosh, I got nothing left.
I'm verklempt.
Okay. Well, we're all misty-eyed and Bessie's still dead.
We're gonna go out on a Bessie song?
No, I got something else.
Can I see you guys do another peach shooter?
Can you see us do another peach shooter?
Yeah, they're all gone.
They're all gone. We ate them all.
Okay.
But I got a picture. I can send you a picture.
Did you swallow?
Yeah. That could be taken out of context.
Well, you had to chew it before you swallowed it.
That's even worse. Okay, we're just going to not play those audio bits, all right? Okay. All right, see you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
What in the world can be wrong? Beverage had no more.